afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Monday, October 30th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
Yes, I'm going to say it. What happened to October? What did they do with it? I can't believe it's October 30th. We're heading into November. Thanksgiving and Christmas will be here, and we'll be welcoming in the new year before you even know it, 2018. It's like,
yeah,
good grief.
We got another day to go in October.
Good grief. What happened?
October's not done yet.
What happened to 2017?
Same thing that happened to 2016 and 2015 and 1999 and 1990 and so on.
Good.
It was the same thing. It's just now you're paying attention. Back then you weren't paying attention. Now you're paying attention.
Our days are numbered. Is that it?
It's been going on since our lives began.
Yeah, but with all that, I don't ever recall so much activity going on at any, you know, period of time in such a short period of time. I mean, we've been we've been bombarded with various events and stories and catastrophes. And you know, back at the election, the lady I do the morning program with, Beth, and I don't know if I ever said it on this program or not, but I told it to her and on her program. I says, you know, I says, after the election it's going to be very chaotic. And I think that was, you know, hey, I was right on my prediction, but I didn't expect it to be this chaotic and so much turmoil and everything, except in the stock market, of course. Everything's all nice and calm there, but it seems everywhere else that, you know, it truly is amazing. But so gold today, a lot of news today, particularly about Manafort. We'll talk about Mr. Manafort here, and I'm not going to call him Mr. Paul Manafort here in just a few moments, but first we're going to do the market report. Gold today, I wasn't down. A couple times it was, but here in the aftermarket of New York spot price, you have gold up three for gold at $1,277. Silver struggling, $16.93, down a penny. Platinum was up $2 at $922, and palladium was down to $968. And the paper mark, well, let's go see what the dollar's doing. Dollar was down 0.31 at $94.50. Crude oil was up 0.27, $54.17. Very strong number for crude oil. You have paper markets today. They were down 70 points basically all day to finish down the Dow 85 points, 23,348. The NASDAQ was down 2 points, 6,698. The S&P was down 8, 2,572. And let's see, where am I going here? 10-year yield, 2.37%, down 0.06. And, of course, the euro was stronger, 0.38 at 117. A lot of things in the news today. And, of course, Manafort is probably the item that's getting the most news, of course. And let me go ahead and bring up that report. You had, he was indicted, 12 different counts. I did not read the full text. I don't know if you did, Al.
I read some of it. More importantly, I listened to Judge Napolitano talk about it on a video.
Mm-hmm.
And he does not think, listening to him speak, he seems to think that Manafort is in deep doo-doo.
I think so, too.
He says these are serious charges. And it does appear that they've probably got him. At least that's a preliminary. It doesn't look like it's just blown up and whatever. These are serious charges. But whether they can be linked to Trump is another question. It really appears, I mean, what you see, for me, superficially, looking at this, it appears that Manafort was simply a Washington hustler.
He's a lobbyist.
And he was, yeah, I know, which means he's probably a crook to begin with.
Well,
and if you're going to employ crooks, you got to assume that, you know, sometimes they get caught. And sometimes they may even do things that are crooked while they're working for you. But I get the impression that he is a very high-classed, highly paid crook. Now, maybe wrong, but that's the impression I have at the moment. And I think Manafort and another guy by the name of Gates.
Mm-hmm, his partner.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I didn't know that much about Manafort or where he came from, what he did and so forth. And his father was in the construction business.
Yeah.
And he has three brothers, and they built quite a leading site development in Connecticut. And Paul was more of a, he got involved in politics, of course. And he actually he worked under the Reagan administration, the Bush administration. He joined the Ford administration. He is kind of interesting. And at 27, Manafort headed the delegate initiative in the Northeast. His boss and mentor was the future Secretary of State, James Baker. And his success under that, he played very key roles in Reagan's successful campaign as George H.W. Bush's victory in 1998. He pretty much reached his U.S. political pinnacle in 1996. He ran the convention that nominated Bob Dole. 2008, Manafort was in the running to head the McCain convention, but the candidate reportedly bristled at hiring Manafort because of his record of counseling the pro-Russian leader of Ukraine, and that's part of what he's getting in trouble for. And then it was another 20 years before Manafort was chosen by another candidate, and of course, that was Donald Trump. But he had opened up, he co-founded Black Manafort, Stone, and Kelly. And it was a Beltway lobbying firm. And so, you know, his partner Stone is a longtime Trump confidant. So there is some sort of connections there. One of his most lucrative clients was Jonas Savimbi, leader of UNITA, the pro-Western rebel army fighting the communist government in Angola. And he helped him and got him awarded hundreds of millions of dollars from the Reagan and Bush administrations, and of course money that never brought to victory. So, you know, here that you look at this guy as a bad guy, as a crook and so forth, but who's really the biggest crooks are the politicians that allowed him to lobby for these people and to secure hundreds of millions of tax dollars that went just, you know, for no, you know, just
yeah, they were there.
They
were there to be exploited by politicians both in Africa and lobbyists here in the United States.
I mean, I don't care.
If you can get somebody $100 million, how much do you pay the guy who got you the $100 million?
But he also...
50 cents, give him a $10 tip or something like that. He's making big money. If he provides big money, he gets paid big money.
Of course he is.
Mm-hmm.
But his bail... But my whole point is I had no history on what he really did and where he came. I only associated him with Trump. And I didn't know that he was a long-time lobbyist and that he helped with basically every administration.
Which makes him what? Pretty much a card-carrying member of the elite.
Absolutely.
All right. If he's not a card-carrying member, he's definitely a spear carrier for those who are card-carrying members. I mean, he is right close to the heart of darkness in our governmental system. And he's been there for a long time. He knows where the bodies are buried. It's interesting to see. At least he should know where the bodies are buried. It's interesting to see that they're going to indict this man, or they have indicted him, because in theory, he should know a lot about a lot of people that he might threaten to talk about unless they turn him loose. And maybe that's what's going to happen. Maybe he's going to get a good plea bargain, where before he's done, we're going to give him an ankle monitor that he has to wear on Tuesday nights for the next 60 days and let it go at that.
He got a $10 million bail, was set, I believe. You know, but that's just pocket change for him, probably. And, you know, everyone is scrambling. In fact, it'll be interesting. I don't know if he's the guy that would squeal or not.
It's one of those things where if he's smart, he'd better not.
Yeah. He'll be
right, the $10 million bail might have been his own money, might have been people who want him out. We're here to help you, Mr. Manafort. as long as you keep your mouth shut. We'll watch and see where it goes. But it does look, much to a lot of people's surprise, that investigator Mueller has actually, who knows, maybe he's on, no telling where this is going to go. You know, once this gets started and there's more now, everyone is aware that Hillary's been implicated. She is at least as dirty in this as Trump is, and probably more so. I mean, she's going to be exposed. This business of looking into what's been happening in government lately, this is interesting stuff. It's hard to know how long this is going to last. Hard to know how many people there are in the Senate and the House of Representatives say, "Okay, let's just stop it right now. Let's before this gets out of hand," because hard to say how many others could be dragged into this. Now, I don't expect it to expand, but I believe it could. And I would say that Manafort, like us, he's got to know where a lot of bodies are buried.
And absolutely. And what's interesting, and this is already Tony Podesta, he's the Democratic lobbyist, mm-hmm. founder of the Podesta Group, he's stepping down from the firm that bears his name. He can't handle it.
He's made more money than ever.
He's getting out of Dodge, man.
He's in the rest of that.
What?
He's made more money than he could ever spend, unless he has to spend it all bribing judges. But he's flush.
But he made his announcement this morning. He made his decision to leave the firm the same day that Manafort and Gates were indicted on multiple charges. And now,
did he make the decision to leave the firm, or did the firm make a decision that it would be?
Yeah, he's history. We'll never know, but he's history. Yeah. I know he's running. I'm out of Dodge. I'm getting out of Dodge, but I don't think he can go far enough. And you know, if so, we'll see. And yeah, you know, and you're right. It's possible. You know, they forced him out, or you know, but the company bears his name, so I think he was a little more than just a.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's you know that something serious is happening. And not only do you know that something serious is happening, you know that something serious is going to happen. Why does he abandon his own business, the business that he started? Why does he do that unless he anticipates that he's going to really get shellacked out of whatever's coming? He's going to be a great embarrassment, not just to himself and his family, but to his corporation. And who knows, if he leaves now and he can beat the rap or whatever, maybe there'll be a place for him when he gets cleared. Maybe he's gone forever. There's a chance in 10 that maybe not. We'll watch and see. But it does imply he's not leaving now because of what's been done. He's leaving now because I assume, that he's leaving now for what's going to be done in the foreseeable over the next weeks or months.
But it might be interesting because Manafort, he might be... He would not have been indicted if Mueller hadn't been called to do this investigation on collusion with Trump.
Yeah.
And the reason Mueller was called in was because Trump fired Comey. So if he hadn't fired Comey, this wouldn't be happening today, most likely. His time was almost up to where they wouldn't have been able to do any of
Comey's?
These charges. No,
Manafort.
Manafort's. So, from what, and again, you hear all types of bits and pieces, you know, and we're all trying to put the dots together. So, I'm just saying, is Manafort going to be ticked off enough? Because, again, if Trump hadn't fired Comey, there wouldn't have been a Mueller investigation, and that investigation led to the warrants at Manafort's house back in July, and grand jury being opening, and here he is now being indicted on 12 different counts. So, is he going to be ticked off because Trump fired Comey? And is he going to? And is he going to? Well, that's where it all started.
Well, Comey is in this. Comey is allegedly involved, implicated in this business about the uranium and the deal selling uranium to Russia.
That's a separate.
And
deal.
He allegedly, well, it's a separate thing, but nevertheless, once you know you loose the hounds, they're going to chase anything that moves out there in the field. The dogs are barking right now, and we'll see if they can get them back in the pen or if they're going to break loose. But it's very difficult to sit back and say, well, we're going to go after Trump, but we're not going after Hillary. They're going to have to go after Hillary. There's going to have to be an investigation to go after Hillary now, and in part because fair is fair. Mm-hmm. A little bit of that is going to, in the public perception, is likely to be there. You went after Trump, okay, now go after Hillary.
But that wasn't my point.
Comey allegedly, the FBI paid $50,000 to this British spy, all right, to keep him producing this dossier on Trump. That $50,000 has to be laid at the feet of Mr. Comey. He was head of the FBI when the $50,000 was paid, so far as I know. All right, that's got to be laid at his feet. What is the FBI doing paying some British spy to generate a false dossier on candidate Trump, who was just a candidate at the time? Comey's going to have some splaining to do.
Well, they're going, I think Comey's going to get it one way or another, because you have to ask yourself, and again, folks, I voted for Trump, but you have to ask yourself, if that last announcement, what, 2 days, 3 days prior to the election, if Comey hadn't made that announcement saying they were reopening the investigation on Hillary, would Trump have won?
I have no idea if they.
But
had
I mean,
started
that's a, you know what?
Trump in the first place, would he have won bigger? I mean, if there hadn't been some sort of an investigation of Trump, or at least talked about and perhaps investigated, would Trump have won by a greater percentage? The whole thing is what you're watching is evidence that the government is a racket.
Even Trump thanked Comey for making that announcement.
Well, I would give Comey credit. I mean, if Comey is responsible for keeping Hillary out of the White House, I'm going to say, all right, fine.
My point that I'm saying is the elite are probably very up. You know, if she has her little group of people, you know, that could be a way to get back at Comey for doing what he did.
I think right now, anyone who's close to this, they should just sit down and shut up and hope everybody goes chasing some other fox.
Yep.
All right, just sit down and shut up. Don't do anything. You get involved with this, you're just going to make it worse. You talk to Comey, you're going to make him angry, and he may turn on you. You talk to Manafort, you're going to make him angry, he's going to turn on you. All right, now is the time to shut your mouth and, you know, hunker down and hope people overlook you. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen, but for many of these people, that might be the best advice they can get. And I'm not trying to give them good advice. I'm just saying, you know, reality is reality. But what we're seeing is, again, evidence that our government is corrupt. It's substantial, in depth, in multiple locations. Corrupt, corrupt, corrupt. We're going to take a break, a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. All your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
$545. Gold's up today. We're going to keep the prices the same. $545 for a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 21 ounce American Silver Eagles that are dated 2017. And it's been such a hot item. We're just going to continue this special. It includes your shipping costs. And again, you can purchase one or 100 of these packages. And many, many, many of you have purchased more than one. So they're available. And so give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Carla's standing by. Maybe she's sitting by the phone waiting for you to call and lock in your prices. $545. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter at dgscoins.com. And of course, these radio programs are also archived there, and you can listen live from the website. You know, Pennsylvania, people don't talk about the conditions of these states very rarely. I mean, there isn't any negative financial news anywhere. I mean, it's and, you know, if you look to the last page, you might find something. You know, of course, they have to tout the strength of the stock markets and so forth. Today, Pennsylvania, we know they didn't pay a couple of their social programs and some other bills they didn't pay. Well, today, I mean, this is just unbelievable. The governor, Tom Wolf, he hopes that the $2.3 billion budget deficit, you know, he's going to sign off on it. And he says the governor made the announcement during an appearance at the monthly Pennsylvania Press Club. The good news is that by accepting the plan passed by the state legislature this month, he's going to guarantee that $32 billion in state obligations to public schools, universities, and a variety of human service agencies will be met. $32 billion. But where do you think he's going to get the money, Al?
From the children and the grandchildren.
The state has doubled down on its investment in the commercial gambling market.
Oh, well. They must be getting religion. Either that, or they can't rob the kids anymore, so we're going to make the money down to Las Vegas. We're just going to put it all on one roll of the dice.
Well, the state has doubled down on its investment in the commercial gambling market with new expectations of revenue from internet-based games and a second string of casinos that are scattered around the Commonwealth. A significant portion of the $350 million or so annual funding stream for the 1998 multi-state settlement with the nation's major tobacco companies will be diverted for at least the next 20 years from the health and research programs it has traditionally supported into the general fund. So these casinos, you know, through difficult times, that's probably the first thing that people are going to cut back on, I would think.
What you about know, you, prostitution?
Oh, good.
They're not.
Can,
that's
can
not so far
that?
From the casinos. They may have to. The prostitutes may have to start to filling out a 1099 for every one of their customers.
I mean, that's just, you know.
Well, they got to have money, Melody.
I'm
they're
almost
not too
speechless.
Particular.
I mean, I really don't even know what to say except you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
I mean, you talk about grasping for straws. I mean, that's the proverbial straw. I mean,
well, you know, one thing about it is that who is going to stand up and complain? If they raise taxes on members of the middle class or homeowners, property taxes, automobile taxes, gasoline taxes, there's lots of consumers that will be angry about it. But if you raise taxes on gambling, I don't think you have organized resistance. I don't think you can expect people to march and demonstrate and, you know, wear little roulette wheels and rest, that sort of thing, to express their outrage that the taxes on gambling institutions are going up. Yeah. So there's not many people in favor, so they can be hit, which is, to me, I look at it as possible evidence that they realize the public is taxed to the limit, and they can't raise the taxes on the public much more without causing a riot. So we got to find somebody we can tax. Who can we tax? So they'll start with gambling, and maybe my sarcasm about prostitution is not so far from wrong. Who knows?
I don't know.
They got to have the money, though, Melody.
They got to get the money.
Which indicates what? They're desperate.
Absolutely.
That's the implication. Not necessarily the truth, but that's the implication. They're desperate to get the money from someplace. And if they are desperate, it means there is an increased probability, not a certainty, but an increased probability that they may default on whatever money they've already borrowed. So we'll watch and see.
So is that where the federal government going to come out and say, hey, we're going to double down on those casinos across this country to get what we need to do these tax cuts? You know, they were supposed to unveil the tax bill Wednesday, but today they're kind of suffered a setback over the weekend. It doesn't really say, I guess it's the National Association of Home Builders, but over the weekend a corporate interest group came out against the proposal, and so they're scrambling to rewrite some of the federal tax code. And but everyone believes that, or at least the administration believes that this tax code will be the one that they think it will stimulate the economy, create millions of jobs, and give voters a reason to stick with their party in next year's midterm elections. But the National Association of Home Builders came out against the bill after Brady informed the group's chief executive about key details. And that's just interesting. I saw the big headlines yesterday. It was that they're really keeping this tax information quiet, secret. Then nobody knows anything about it until Wednesday.
What did they tell you when the CIA wants to spy on you or whoever else it is in government? If you don't have anything to hide, you got nothing to fear.
Yeah.
Well, who is the most secretive entity probably you can name, if not the government? They're always acting in secrecy. How come? If they don't have anything to hide, what do they have to fear? And the fact that they think secrecy is evidence of criminality, well, who is more secretive? And they're secretive even when they tell you what the inflation rate is and the unemployment rate. They're not telling you the truth. That's being secretive, right? If you can't count on them to tell you the truth, that they're being secretive, they're hiding something, what have they got to fear? What they have to fear is the public will figure out what a racket this government has become. And maybe we're on the verge of that. You know, maybe we're going to see this thing expand. I wouldn't bet on it. But you know, got that little optimistic streak sometimes, Melody. A certain amount of fantasy, the part of the fantasy world I live in, that one of these days, the government might come clean.
Mm. Yeah, sure, Al. Uh-huh. Maybe.
It could happen.
It could happen.
You know.
As I chuckle.
I got an article here from Business Insider, and this is interesting because I just saw a report just last week where someone calculated, they were talking about the stock market and when it was going to crash and what to watch for, and they said what you have to watch for is when the public runs out of money to invest. And whoever it was, I don't remember who did the report, but he made the point that research indicated, when he went back and looked at previous depressions and stock market sudden implosions, when the stock market suddenly collapsed, he said the one characteristic that was there at the onset of every one of these declines in the stock market was the investors had run out of cash. If they don't have the cash, according to his calculations and his theory and whatever, if they don't have the cash to invest, then you can't continue to push the stock market up. Now, the problem we have with that theory is today, who's really investing the money in the stock market? Is it ordinary investors like the people listening to this program and you and me?
Central banks.
Are they the ones, or are the central banks the ones that are holding it up? Well, This complicates the whole theory, but I think the theory is sound. I think they make an excellent point. When the public runs out of cash, that's when you can expect the stock market to stop going up. And when it stops going up, it will almost certainly begin to go down. When the public runs out of cash. So here's an article from Investors Daily, or Business Insider, excuse me, and the headline is Investors Are Running Out of Cash. And that's terrible news for the stock market. A growing number of firms are sounding the alarm on the investor cash levels that have dropped near the lowest levels in history. Low cash levels are a threat to the ongoing equity bull rally because it signals that investors are running out of money that they can use to keep the markets going higher. The shortage could threaten the 8.5-year equity bull market. While money market assets make up a record low 17% of long-term funds, the cash balance of equity mutual funds is also sitting at an all-time low of 3.3%. A decade of financial repression has turned cash into trash, according to Intel FC Stone, that firm's macro strategist, a guy named by the name of Vincent Delourde. He said there are a lot of fully invested bears out there. There is not much sidelines cash left to push stocks higher. Now, the question is, how much does that matter in a world where the investors are making the decisions are primarily computers, and it may be that principal investors are central banks? Does it matter that the ordinary investors have run out of cash? Or can that be overcome by the power of the central banks? I don't know. And we'll just have to watch and see. But it is another one of the leaves in the breeze. It's telling you, look, there's reason to believe this thing is on the edge of a breakdown. Right? There is reason. Maybe we can overcome it with, I don't know, you can almost say illicit investments from the central banks, maybe. Certainly sneaky, shaky. Whatever they're doing, it's not giving us... This is part and parcel of what we talked about earlier. If you don't have anything to hide, you got nothing to fear. Go ahead and let the government spy on you. Well, when the central banks are investing money into the stock market, they're essentially saying we do have something to fear. All right, this thing's going down. It can't support itself. The stock market is on life support. And it is the hope of the central banks that they're going to be able to keep it on life support until it gets strong enough to survive on its own. I think that's the operating assumption here behind the strategy. But they've been working this strategy since 2007, 2008, trying to shore up the economy. We'll just throw a little more money at it here. Give them another injection of money. A little more speed, and they'll be up and on their feet in no time at all, and we'll all get rich again. But maybe not. And again, this is another one of these leaves in the breeze that indicates we have institutions that are perhaps desperate.
Well, you know, was it just last week when Janet Yellen had warned that there's an uncomfortably high risk that the central banks are going to have to deploy crisis-era stimulus tools again. They mm-hmm. never took those stimulus tools away. You've got the European Union that's still stimulating the markets, China, Japan, the U.S. is doing it, but they're not telling you about it. When they mature, they just go right back in and buy more. So there's still a stimulus going on with these, particularly these extra low rates. And what's really is these markets are just relying on these finance. And this is, again, I'm going to go to Doug Noland. I mean, he had a great article. I'm just going to pull out a couple of his terms. Is the only thing that these markets are relying on are financial engineering.
And so what do they mean by financial engineering?
Financial engineering.
Do they mean manipulation when they say engineering, Melody?
Pretty much.
I mean, engineering sounds like a very scientific situation. I think maybe it's just manipulation.
They're juicing these markets through these extremely low rates is how they're doing it. I mean, that's all stimulus.
And what does that do? It robs creditors. I mean, if you've if you have been sufficiently productive and diligent to save money, to earn money in the first place, live within your means, and therefore save money, that's how you got money that you could invest in other people's projects. But if you're caught in a situation where you can't make any entry, you can't receive any interest to speak of on your investment, inevitably creditors are going to be robbed. Because I don't care who you lend to, you can lend to 100 people and 10, 15, 20 of them are going to default. They're not going to make the payments, at least not make them on time, and maybe more than that, maybe less. But that is evidence of a loss that's going to be suffered by the creditors. How long can we continue to bleed the creditors before there aren't any creditors? It's one of the reasons why people take their money. It's one of the reasons why emerging markets did so well for a couple of years out of the last 5 or 10. People were taking their money out of this country where they couldn't make a decent return on their investment, creditors, and they're saying, I'll invest my money in third world, emerging markets. I can get a fair return on my dollars, or maybe an exorbitant return, but I can get a return. If I keep my money in the United States, I may not get much of a return. I bear the losses, but I don't stand to make much of a profit. You know, what can you do other than move your money offshore?
You know, in one of his last paragraphs in his article this week, he talks about the unprecedented, synchronized, systemic global scale. This is the granddaddy of all bubbles, historic excess, distortion throughout these securities and derivative markets and asset markets more generally on an unprecedented, synchronized, systemic global scale. I mean, we're talking about these booms are all packed in, these powerful booms are all packed into a one killer bubble, unlike the world has ever experienced. History will not be kind to the central banker fixation. And, it's just like, and that's what's really, it's so staggering when you think about this whole global system.
Yep. And the millions of lives that depend on it.
Trillions of dollars.
This isn't going to
be
a situation where
out.
We'll be a little inconvenienced and we won't be able to go out for dinner for a couple of months. This is a situation where there's going to be a lot of people who are going to die, probably not in this country, but in many foreign countries. Third world, they will not be able to stand the strain, and this is going to impact the whole. This is not just going to impact the United States or just Europe or whatever. This thing is going down. That's the implication. And if it does, it's going to be a global problem that will not be easily repaired or even endured.
That will start a war.
Okay, Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Give it some thanks.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
And I just want to say one more thing. I mean, that's what Janet Yellen is saying. And I guess Mr. Trump is also supposed to release his pick for the Federal Reserve chairman this week before he goes on his Asian trip. So we should get that later on in the week. I don't think there was a day that was selected just this week. And but the scale of the devastation that's going to happen when this market collapses. You know, we all want gold to go higher. We all want the markets to correct. You know, we want to benefit from our gold holdings. But you know what, folks? You buy gold and you buy silver to protect your purchasing power. The gains will come later. And when gold is 3,000, when gold is 5,000, it's not going to be a nice day here in America. So, you know, be thankful that we have all these opportunities to buy gold at these lower prices. Be thankful that we can still buy gold, that it's still available at these lower prices. Because once it gets to $3,000 and $5,000, it's not going to be a pretty sight in this country. And gold is going there. I have no doubt in my mind that gold is not going to a minimum of $5,000. It's going to make the run-up in Bitcoin look like, you know.
No, I think Bitcoin will outshine gold for a while. Gold, I don't think, is ever going to demonstrate. It's going to be extraordinary. If gold can demonstrate, can
the minute
match
we have
Bitcoin's
a financial collapse,
it'll be extraordinary. But I don't expect Bitcoin to stay up.
The minute we have a financial collapse, you'll see people dumping Bitcoin like you've never. It'll go down twice as fast as it went up. Because humans, investors will always go to gold. Will always go to gold as the safe haven. Sure, they might go into bonds at first, and then that money will start coming into gold. And because there won't, because this is a monetary problem that we're going to have, just not here in the States, but globally. And you'll see Bitcoin and all those other cryptocurrencies drop like. It'll drop faster than I think any of the items out there, than any of the paper investments or anything.
I think one of the most important economic indicators is the Baltic Dry Index, which measures how much trade is going on between countries, how much grain and cargo and whatever is being hauled in commercial ships from one country to another. And that index was over 12,000 back around 2007, 2008. And it had, last time I looked, and I haven't looked recently, but the last time I looked, it was down less than 1,000. It had gone down as low as something like 300, gone from 12,000 to 300. Now that tells me at least, what's happened to the global economy during the Great Recession. It has dropped badly. I don't think it'll ever go back. Will it ever rise back up to, you know, 10,000-12,000 again? I'm going to be surprised if it does, but I don't think it's going to happen soon. And it's evidence that we are still in a kind of danger. It's evidence that whether we want to talk about it or not, the global economy is in a state of economic depression. And the only thing that's holding it up, if anything's holding it up, are the central banks, which are buying bonds and buying stocks. And I don't even know if that's holding it up or just maintaining the illusion that the economy is solid. What's the difference, Melody? Is it really stimulating the economy? Is it really holding the economy up? Or is it just holding the illusion up where people can say, boy, we must be doing great because, you know, this, that, and the other, but if the day comes when the central banks run out of paper and ink, or they run out of the will to continue printing, or the debt is just too great to be tolerated anymore. This whole thing goes up. There's going to be a problem. And again, you know, that's why we call the program Financial Survival. I don't think anyone listening to this program, we can debate when this trouble is going to hit, but I don't think anyone listening to the program doubts that big trouble is headed our way. We don't know whether it's going to strike in the next couple of months. We don't know if it's going to strike in the next couple of years, but it's coming. It certainly looks like it, and I don't see anything they can do about it. They are riding a tiger, and all they can do is get deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And sooner or later, that's got to end, yeah. In my opinion. I don't think you can continue to do it forever. You can't just keep, oh, we'll leave the debt for the kids. We'll leave it for the grandkids. Sooner or later, we're going to get to the era of the kids and the grandkids, and they're going to say, to heck with that. We're not paying the debt for you old-timers. And a lot of people are going to be angry about that, but what are you going to do? Jail all the young people because they don't want to pay the elders' debts? They would rather buy their own homes, have their own families, live their own lives? I mean, this whole thing is wrong. This is not just a little confusion or, gee, we made a mistake, we miscalculated. No, this is wrong. You can't be running up enormous debts right now to please the public and get reelected and leave that debt for future generations. It is wrong in the sense of being wicked. Pay your own bills. All right? Your generation has to pay its bills. My generation has to pay my generation's bills. You can't just leave it to future generations. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And it's part of the thing. And it's not just, I don't mean that it doesn't work. I don't just mean that it doesn't work. I mean it's immoral. It's wicked. It's wrong. I'm going to go out and buy a new TV set and give Melody the bill. It's not right. You got to pay your own bills. And our government has been operating on the presumption, no, you don't. We can have our cake and eat it too. And I believe that sooner or later we're going to find out, nope, you can't. No, you can't. And when that happens, there's going to be a real serious reset, dislocation, implosion, painful, painful situation in the United States and globally. We're really on the verge of watching something blow up in everybody's face at the same time. And what is that something, Melody?
You tell us.
Fiat currency. So it's going to happen. I mean, when this whole thing goes down, and I think it has to, we are going to look back and say, what the heck was going on? How did we manage to survive at this throughout the Great Recession in the first place? Well, we were printing phony money and injecting it into the system. We used fiat currency to offset the problem we had, but all it did was make the problem bigger. And now the fiat currency doesn't work anymore. I don't think we're going to get through this and still be able to maintain the illusion that governments can print money for us. I think when this thing goes down, people will be forced to sit back and say, look, we've got to have a monetary system that is not subject to manipulation by the Federal Reserve and or the federal government. We got to have something that the people can rely on and the government can do whatever it wants, but leave us alone. Don't mess with our money system. And if you want that, it'll be a gold or silver-based monetary system. And the government's the last thing in the world the government wants. I don't think it can survive. I mean, it's going to be badly diminished if we run out. If government can't give a hand out free money, then government is going to be badly diminished. Everyone will despise it. It'll be, hard to say what's going to happen. There will be political revolution at least, and there might even be civil revolution in the sense of a shooting revolution. Not impossible. I'm not predicting that, but I'm saying the probability is increased. When this thing blows up, everybody's going to look at the politicians and say, what the heck were you doing? How did you lead us into this mess? And the politicians aren't going to have a good answer for us. They'll be able to point their fingers in a bunch of directions, but they won't have a good answer, and they'll be vulnerable at that time. So we'll watch and see, but, you know, the recovery is not yet here. Contrary to what some people would have you believe, It really has not arrived for the vast majority of the American people. And how long can we go on without a recovery? How long, Melody?
I can't imagine.
Couple weeks, couple more weeks, couple more months, couple more years.
I can't imagine too much longer.
No, I know. It's just, and it's incumbent on each of us to try to prepare to deal with this problem. It seems certain we're going to have the problem. I mean, it's like you're on the Titanic, you've hit an iceberg. They say the ship can't sink. Okay, maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. But isn't it kind of incumbent on each of us to get our life jackets and stand close to the lifeboats just in case? Just in case. Because I know it's unsinkable, it's the Titanic, can't be sunk. Supposedly one of the designers of the ship claimed that not even God could sink the Titanic. So we know it can't be sunk. But just on the off chance, isn't it a good idea to get yourself some of your life's a preserver, get it close at hand, and lifeboats and so on? Oh. Melody?
1-800-375-4188. Get your package today. Well, we have other coins. We have all kinds of coins here at Discount Gold and Silver, but this is a great little package if you're a bullion buyer. With a 1/10 ounce, if you like some fractional pieces for your gold, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, and, of course, 21-ounce American Silver Eagles for $545, and that does include your shipping costs. So it's a great little package. It's a great something to add to your current holdings of gold and silver. And 800-375-4188.
Got an article here that's entitled Alabama Bill Would Exempt Gold and Silver Bullion from Sales Tax, Help Encourage Its Use as Money. A bill pre-filed in the Alabama House for the 2018 session would exempt the purchase of gold and silver bullion from state sales taxes and use taxes, encouraging its use and taking the first step toward breaking the Federal Reserve's monopoly on money. They go on, and the legislation would exempt the gross proceeds from the sale of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium bullion coins from sales and use tax. By removing the sales tax on the exchange of gold and silver, Alabama would treat specie as money instead of a commodity. Now, you're selling gold and silver coins out of a state that doesn't charge sales tax on it. Is that true, Melody?
That's correct.
Do you think the fact that they aren't charging sales tax, do you think that makes a difference in terms of using gold and silver as money? Do you think that makes a significant difference, or is that too much of an exaggeration in this article?
Well, no, I don't know how any of these states could ever charge sales tax on gold and silver, because it is money. And that was the argument when I lived in Pennsylvania. They had a gold lobby that lobbied too, because when I first moved to Pennsylvania, there was sales tax. And we were able to lobby it to where they eliminated it. And that's what it was based on. It was coins. I think they still had the tax on bullion, large amounts of bullion, but as far as coins were concerned, there was no tax on the coins because it's money. And I know they've been trying with Governor Wolf. He's been trying to add the tax back on because that is a source of revenue. You know, they'll try anything to
get the they're ready to they're ready to tax the gamblers. They might as well be ready to tax the gold investors.
So there's still quite a few states out there that do have tax on gold purchases of gold and silver.
Well, but there's others. It says here in the article I'm reading from earlier this year, governors in Louisiana, North Carolina signed similar bills into law. Mm-hmm. A new Arizona law went into effect in August eliminated state capital gains tax on gold and silver specie, removing another barrier. Individuals buying gold or silver bullion or utilizing gold or silver in transaction would no longer be subject to state taxes on the exchange. This would encourage and facilitate the use of gold and silver in everyday transactions. Legislation is part of a broader movement at the state level to break the Federal Reserve's monopoly over the U.S. financial system. So, I don't know. Sounds good to me. You know, it's one of these things. We haven't seen a profound victory here, but nevertheless, it's evidence of an idea whose time has come. It's evidence that some people in some of the state legislatures, they're talking about Alabama. They're trying it. They haven't passed the bill yet. Maybe it'll pass. Maybe it won't. Alabama, Louisiana, North Carolina, Arizona. There may be others that are beginning to get, are beginning to move, they're beginning to grope their way back to gold and silver as money rather than a commodity. And I think that's a good sign. I think where people recognize it as money, not just programs like ours that talk about it, where the cabbie recognizes it as money, where the grocer recognizes it as money. You know, if they can recognize, and some people are moving to recognize things like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies as money to pay bills, why not recognize gold and silver for the same thing? It looks like an idea whose time has come, and it presages a moment there where we're going to perhaps abandon or certainly diminish our use of fiat currency and get back to gold and silver. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. Hope you tune in then. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you and me and Melody and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams,